I'm one of the four deans for the Diocese of Lafayette. We help the bishop to run the diocese and take care of any problems that might come up so his plate can be a little bit lighter. And we do confirmations as well. I'll be doing the confirmation for the 10th graders this Wednesday night. And so there are four of us, and we're going to go out to eat tonight in Lafayette. Guess where we're going? Dino's. No joke. But three out of us four deans actually had a connection to the New Orleans attack on New Year's Day. Early that morning, Father Bill Blanda's great-nephew was Hubert Gothrow, who was killed, and Tiger Besh was my cousin, and Father Chester Arsenault, who's the dean for the central region, the cathedral where the Besh family are parishioners. That's his parish, his parishioner. And so it was kind of strange that three out of four of his deans had a connection to this. And so Tiger is my cousin. His great-grandfather was Dr. Henry Voorhees, was my doctor. He was coroner of Lafayette as well, and he was quite the character, Dr. Henry was. He had a nurse later in his career, and he told her, "You're the worst nurse I've ever seen in my entire life." And then they got married, which is a true story. So he was a character. But it was I went to the funeral to represent the Voorhees family to them, and it was at the cathedral on Monday. Very beautiful. The cathedral was packed, and there were people from all around the United States there because Tiger had been at St. Thomas More High School in Lafayette as a football player there, and then he played football for Princeton, and then most recently was working on Wall Street. So accomplished young man, and at the age of 28 had already done all of that. And his three siblings also spoke after the Mass. His brother Jack is playing football for TCU, so he was playing against UL in one of those bowls in Albuquerque, where my brother is, and I'm sure Tiger went to most of the games, so he probably was in the stands watching his younger brother Jack play there. So Father Chester Arsenault had seen the Besh family, the parents, on Christmas Day, and asked about Tiger and about his faith, because he was an altar server there and wanted to make sure he was still practicing. And so the parents spoke to him about that. And Father Andrew Schumacher had seen Tiger and Jack and the rest of the family on Christmas Eve morning and went to their house, and he had a lot of funny things to share. Tiger was a real people person, and so many wonderful things. The homily he focused on was love one another, because Tiger was all about that. He called his grandmother twice on New Year's Eve, hours before he died. And, you know, what 28-year-old young man is thinking of that on New Year's Eve. And then I just found out that the FBI called the Besh family and told them that he saved the life of a young woman. He pushed her out of the way, probably could have saved his own life, but chose to save hers first. And so a beautiful life, just to show what a baptized and confirmed young man can do, you know, who is living that life of the Lord Jesus, as we have today. Those who are going to be baptized at the Easter Vigil, and those that will be confirmed and receive their first communion as well. So we're celebrating the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, and we started the season with the birth of the Lord, and now we finish the Christmas season with the rebirth of our Lord. Now, Jesus did not need to be baptized because he had no sin, right? So, but he showed us a good example, number one. And number two, we say that he blessed all the waters through the Jordan River, of the waters that would be used in the future for baptisms. And remember Ezekiel the prophet, how he saw this river coming out of the right side of the Temple of Jerusalem. And it started small, but then it was a raging river at the end. And what he saw was ultimately, figuratively, the temple of the body of Jesus. When Jesus was crucified, remember, or in another part of the Gospel of John, John said that Jesus was talking about the temple of his body. Remember when he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And John said he was talking about the temple of his body. And they pierced him on the right side, because that's the easiest way to get to the heart. Left side is harder. And water and blood came flowing out of the side of Christ, and John was right there to see it. And who knows, it might have even fallen upon him. And so that was the waters of baptism coming out of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And if we put all of our baptismal waters together, I'm sure it would be a raging river. You know, the 1.4 billion Catholics right now and all the ones that live before us, it would be a raging river. So we start the Christmas season with the birth of our Lord. We end it with his baptism. And St. Maximus of the 5th century compared the two. He said, at Christmas he is born a man. In baptism, he is reborn sacramentally. At Christmas, he is born from a virgin. At baptism, he is reborn in mystery from the Father. In Mary holds him at the birth of the Lord, and at the baptism, the Father embraces his Son. This is my Son. Listen to him. Mary listens to the baby Jesus' cries. Here, the Father says, listen at the baptism. Listen to my Son. At the incarnation, the Holy Spirit descended upon Mary for his conception. And here we have the Holy Spirit coming down upon the mature man, Jesus. At the Epiphany last Sunday, we celebrated it. Mary held the baby Jesus for the Magi to adore. And here the Lord says, all nations must adore my Son. Jesus would say that. Go out and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the very way that we will be baptizing you catechumens at the Easter Vigil. So we rejoice in all of this. And I was reading a story about the Family Missions Company and how they go out and help the priests to educate the people in foreign lands. There's one Asian country with a minuscule number of Catholics spread around. And they go 4 hours on an SUV ride to get to one little village. And there's an 87-year-old priest ministering to these people and some elderly nuns. And the priest has been doing it most of his life, has established a school there. 50% of the high school kids can't pass the final exam. So there's a lot of help that is needed. And there's one family that's thinking about converting, but they know when they do, they will be rejected by everybody else. So when we get baptized, everybody's helping us, and for the most part, and giving us encouragement and so forth. But for some people, it's you're going to lose a lot by doing it. And also in another village, a 10-hour bus ride away, a young couple with a newborn, they walk 1.5 hours from a neighboring village in order to get to Mass. So look at the struggles that people go through. And compare it to our freedom here in this country. We need to be very mindful of that. And just in time for the celebration of this feast day, on Friday, the Pope's Secretary of State consecrated a new gigantic church near the site of the baptism of Jesus. So by the River Jordan, there's this new big Catholic church in a Muslim country, the country of Jordan, 97% Muslim, but they're very much have good relations with the Christians and looking forward to some good tourism as well. But they're a beautiful church dedicated, and so lots of pilgrims will be going there in the ensuing decades, and we pray will reap wonderful graces for all of us at the very site where Jesus himself was baptized. Amen.